Hey everyone, this is Peter from Stutter Talk. Eric and I are about to call Mr. Mel Tillis to help us celebrate National Stuttering Awareness Week. Mel Tillis, a country music legend, started performing in the early 50s with a group called the Westerners while serving as a baker in the United States Air Force stationed in Okinawa. In 1976, Mel Tillis was inducted into the Nashville Songwriters International Hall of Fame and was also named Country Music Association's Entertainer of the Year. Also, in the 1970s, Mel Tillis won Comedian of the Year 6 times. Mel has written more than 60 albums and over 1,000 songs. Mel was the 1998 spokesman and honorary chairman for the Stuttering Foundation of America. Learn more about Mr. Tillis at www.meltillis.com.
Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. You're here with Eric Jackson, my good buddy Peter Reitzes.
Hey, everyone.
And our special guest, we are thrilled to have him on the show today, Mr. Mel Tillis. How are you, Mr. Tillis?
Hey, man, I'm doing just fine. How you folks doing up there in New York, Brooklyn, New York,
I must say? We're doing pretty good, I think. It's a nice day up here in sunny Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's great.
It's really nice. And to get ready for this show, I've been listening to your greatest hits, so I feel like I have you in my veins right now.
Thank you for having us on your show.
So there's so many things we want to ask you about, but let's start with the basics. What's your earliest memory of stuttering, Mr. Tillis?
You know, I remember... I was about 3 or 4 years old. I remember that there was something different about me, but I didn't know, you know, what it was at the time. But I remember my little brother and my sister, you know, kind of laughing at me from time to time. Then I started the school. I was 6 years old, and I found out that I stuttered. And I went home and I asked my mother, I said, do I stutter? She said, yes, you do. And she said, well, that's okay. Just be yourself, she said. And I found out, though, when I started the school that no one was immune to stuttering. And I stuttered and that was it. And I just had to live with it and, you know, take me as I am. But I could sing. I could always sing. And my teacher would ask me to get up and sing before the other students from time to time. And she would take me to the around to the other rooms, and I'd sing to the other classes. But that was the earliest, I guess. I was about 4 years old, then again at 6 years old.
You got to kind of use what you got, right?
Exactly.
So, Mr. Tillis, do you ever remember doing things to hide your stuttering, like changing words or to tapping your foot while speaking?
Yeah, I still do some of that.
When you were growing up, did you have one of those moves that was your favorite or the one that you did the most?
No, I don't remember. You know, whichever one that I could think of was the handiest. Part of what the conversation had lent itself to.
We understand that as a child, you once tried to speak by putting rocks in your mouth. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I wasn't a child then. I was about I was in my teens.
Wow.
And I had, in my history class, we had a, I had a history teacher. His name was Mr. Lampy. And we studied the Greeks, and they had a fellow by the name of Demosthenes. And they said that he stuttered, you know, real, real badly. And he overcame his stuttering by putting some seashells in his mouth or something.
Hmm.
And he became one of the world's greatest orators. And I said, well, if it worked for him, it'll work for me. So I went down to Lake Okeechobee. We lived near the lake, and I found some pebbles, and I put them in my mouth. And it didn't help any at all. It's just, you know, I almost swallowed one of them.
Oh,
I think I tell a little story that I did swallow one, but I didn't. It's show business.
Right, exactly. Makes for a better story.
Yeah, right.
John Carson
asked me one time, he said, hey, Mel, he said, if you're ready to stutter, how come you only stutter on the punchlines?
The answer to that question probably lies somewhere in the fact that we stutter a lot when we really need to get something out, you know?
I still stutter. You know, on stage, when I'm on stage, though, I holler. I hardly stutter at all these days. You know, I know what I'm going to say, and I know what I'm going to talk about, you know, stuff like that. And then I can sing without the stutter. So, if you hold up a cue card for me to read, I'll stutter. I don't know why that is, but if I memorize something and I've got it down real good, I stutter less.
Hmm. So, Mr. Toas, you've written that...
They just called me Mel, man.
Okay, Mel. Thank you. you've written that, or you said, I wish I could tell you that I've cured myself of stuttering, but I can't. It's still very much a part of my life. I've come to think of it, the stuttering, as my old friend. It's always there and always will be there. How has seeing your stuttering as a friend helped you through all these years?
Well, you know, when I found out that I could sing and I could ad lib without stuttering. When I went to Nashville, you know, and knocked on some doors, you know, 9 times out of 10 in Nashville, you knock on a door, you don't get in. But I was kind of lucky. I guess the first one I knocked on was Acuff Rose Publishing Company, Music Publishing Company. And I tried to tell them my name. I said, and I could see a little smiles on their face, little hidden smiles, you know, I could tell. And they invited me in. And I tried to tell them, you know, that I had some songs, and they said, you sing it, you can't tell us. So I took my guitar out of the case, and I sang them some songs, and their eyes lit up. Oh, looky here. So it opened some doors for me, and I was one of the first ones invited to come on national television and confessed that I stuttered. You know, most of the times in the old days, the stuttering was a comedy thing. They had different comics that would use it. Old Fuzzy Knight was one, and then they had all kind of guy that used it who who actually didn't stutter. But I did. And Jimmy Dean was doing the Mike Douglas show up in Philadelphia, and he was the co-host, and he asked me to come up and be on the show. And Mike said, no, you can't have anyone that stutters. He said, no, we can't have that. And Jimmy Dean, he told him, he said, you trust me. And I went, and they did, and I went to Philadelphia, and I was on that show, and I think after that I appeared on it about 30 times after that. And from there I went to the Night Show, went to the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, I went to all the shows, you name them.
Yeah.
Dean Martin Show, the Tony Orlando Show, Merv Griffin Show, I did them all.
Yeah.
And from there I did movies, about 15 movies, so it opened a lot of doors for me.
Excellent.
So we've read that you got some encouragement and help from the great Minnie Pearl. How did
she? Minnie Pearl. When I went to Nashville, I had some songs, but I also needed some income coming in. So I hired on. I heard that Minnie Pearl was hiring a guitar player and singer, a male singer. So I applied for the job and got it. And she realized that it was me and Roger Miller was her band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he played the fiddle. Anyway, he did my talking for me on the stage. He'd introduced me and introduced my song. And Minnie Pearl, she noticed that. And one night after a performance, she said, Melvin, you need to introduce you. If you're going to be in our business, you need to introduce your song, and then afterwards you can thank them. I said, oh, Miss Minnie, I can't do that. I said, they'll laugh at me. And she said, no, Melvin, they will not laugh at you. They'll laugh with you. And from that day on, I started, talking on stage the best I could and telling little anecdotes, little stories here and there. And the next thing I knew, I was on my way.
Wow.
I was in demand.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. So she kind of called you out on stage, and that, in fact, was a great help to you.
Oh, my Lord, yes, it was. And I love Miss Minnie. Boy, she did a lot for a lot of people.
You know, we want to ask you a lot more about your career with singing and comedy, but I'm a little curious about the early days. We've read that your father stuttered. Did the two of you ever talk about it?
My daddy, you mean?
Yeah.
No, he didn't stutter real, real bad, but he would every now and then. And my brother would stutter a little bit, too. But I had two sisters. I have two sisters, and neither one of those, my sister stutter.
And I
told somebody one time, I said, I think it's heredity, and if it is, I'm kin to Moses.
Then I guess we're all kin to Moses.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Well, we know that.
And it might have been more commandments if Aaron hadn't helped him.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He got him to stop talking. Yeah. So you were in the Air Force. We think you wanted to be a pilot. What happened with that?
Well, I wanted to be a pilot. You know, everybody who joins the Air Force would want to be a pilot. And I went in. Let me tell you this. I finished high school, and I attended the University of Florida. And I was there for about 3 months. And the war in Korea was going full force over there. And I was afraid that I was going to get drafted. And my daddy had a little bakery. So I came home, and my daddy said, "Well, if you ain't going back to school, he said, you could come into a bakery shop." I said, "Daddy, I don't want to be a baker." He said, "Well, that's what you get." And I went across the street and joined the Air Force. And I did my basic. I went out to Texas, to San Antonio. Oh, let me tell you this. On Christmas Day, my mom and daddy took me to the air, train station in West Palm Beach. And I had had some National Guard training, and I had also had some ROTC training at the University of Florida. And there was another fellow that was joined the Air Force, and he was from Belgrade. I was from Pahokee, Florida, and he was from Belgrade, about 8 miles away. And they put me in charge of this fellow. And I had the tickets and our meal tickets and all that stuff. I was in charge. And we I got on the train, and I found out that he stuttered. What he could say, I couldn't say, and what I could say, he couldn't say. I told him, I said, "You know, it's going to take us both to get there." Anyway, I got there, San Antonio, Texas, to Lackland Air Force Base. In about 3 weeks, they had they came in and gave us a bunch of aptitude tests, they called them. And I took mine. And I waited and I waited and I waited for my orders to come back. And finally they did. It told me to report across town in San Antonio, Texas, to Fort Sam Houston, 4th Army Baking School. And my daddy got the last laugh of that.
Yeah.
But I was a baker for 4 years, and I tell the folks I served my country, I served them cakes and cookies and pies and donuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what happened there.
When you were a young man, you interviewed for a job at a candy company, and the owner didn't give you a job, but told you that he once stuttered and he wrote something on a piece of paper for you.
Yeah, that was Mr. Miller. That was after that I got out of the Air Force. And my folks had moved from Pahokee up to Dover, Florida, near Plant City. And there was this a candy company that had an opening for a candy salesman route. You know, you'd get the candy and deliver it to the stores and stuff, take orders, stuff like that. And I went and I applied for the job, and he listened to me. He noticed I stuttered, and in those days I really stuttered bad. He noticed. He said, "Look," he said, "I used to stutter." He said, "I've already replaced the driver." He said, "You're a little late." And he said, "But here, let me give you something to help me." And he gave me the Creed for Alcoholic Anonymous. He said, "Read this over." He said, "Read it 10 times over." And I put it in my pocket. I told him I would and left. And I went home, you know, that night, dejected. And I lay in my bed and thinking about that. And I got up and I rumbled through my pockets and I found the Creed that he gave me. It was Alcoholic Anonymous Creed. I guess it can fit anything. Because I wasn't an alcoholic, and not today. Anyway, I read it over and over. "Oh, Lord, oh, grant me the surrender to accept this thing." You know that one. I read it over and over and over 10 times. And I got up the next morning with a different attitude. And And I got a job with the railroad as a fireman. And I was on the equity board. I wasn't on the full time. I was on the equity board, and I was hired from time to time. In the meantime, I tried to write some songs, and I used my railroad pass to go to Nashville. And that's how I got started.
Yeah. Did you find a solace in writing music, Mal? Because with music, you don't really need to talk. And while playing an axe, you don't need to talk, right?
Oh, yeah. I knew that I could sing without stuttering. Oh, yes, I did.
Mal, we know that in 1998, you were the spokesperson for the Stuttering Foundation, and we've read that you received a lot of letters from parents. What did they ask you, and what advice did you give them about children
I still
stuttering?
Do that. I got one on my desk a lot now from a young, from a mother. I get them almost weekly. You know, I tell them that there is help out there. They've got speech schools all over America these days. When I was a kid, you know, in Tampa, Florida, there wasn't any speech schools that I know of or my parents had heard of. Or even when I went to the grade school, I started to grade school, nobody ever mentioned any kind of help. But there's help out there today. And all they have to do is look for it, you know. And I suggest that if they start, you know, real, real, real young, you might be able to help.
Excellent.
Sometimes I feel like everyone is always judging me. Sometimes it feels like everyone is always disrespecting me. If I can't have what I want, what's the reason to carry on? All I want in this whole world is to be myself and nobody else. All I want in this whole world is love.
The song we are listening to now is titled All I Want Is Love and is on the new album being released by the Our Time Theater Company. Our Time is an artistic home for young people who stutter. All I Want Is Love was written by Our Time member Andre Gilliard, age 16, and features lead vocals by Holly Brooke and Duncan Sheik. Featured background vocals are by the original cast members of Spring Awakening and the Our Time Kids. For information about this wonderful album, go to ourtimetheater.org.
Hi, this is Phil Schneider, speech-language pathologist, and I've been very involved in the issue of stuttering for about 39 years now. And my life has recently been enriched by an incredible vehicle for learning and developing a vast perspective, all in the comfort of my home, or while driving in my car, or while taking a walk in the woods. All I have to do is connect to StutterTalk.com or Stuttering 101, and I feel supported by a community of people who deal with this issue professionally, who struggle with this issue, who are challenged with this issue, who care about people who are. And it just broadens my perspective, and it gives me lots of food for thought in an enjoyable, relaxing, comfortable, and convenient way. And I want to be a part of making sure this open, candid, meaningful dialogue continues for years, and that people all over this country and all over the world get this and can hear it and can participate. So I feel privileged to be able to participate and become a shareholder in StutterTalk.com. And I've opened up the website, StutterTalk.com, and gone to that donate button so that I can be a partner in helping to make this happen.
Hi, folks. I'm Mel Tillis. Nobody knows better than I do how stuttering affects your life. But help is close at hand. If you, your child, or someone you know has a stuttering problem, reach for the phone and call the Stuttering Foundation of America for information. The toll-free number is 1-800-992-9392. 1-800-992-9392.
Do you have time for a couple more questions, Mel?
Oh, yes.
Excellent. We really appreciate that. So, we briefly talked about this before, but you're known for being a singer and a comedian. Does stuttering ever get in the way of a good joke or a funny comment? Like, does it... You know,
I don't use a stutter as a crutch for my comedy. If it's there, it's there. If it isn't, it isn't. It isn't. And let me tell you this: a lot of times when I get a script, it's a script for me in some kind of show or this and that, or in a movie. Well, they've written in the stutter. I said, look. I said, I don't stutter on cue like that. I said, if I did, I could quit stuttering, you know.
Right.
And I said, if I stutter, I stutter. If I don't, I don't. I said, I'm trying to quit, you know.
but it's tough.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with a speech therapist, and how did that go for you?
I had a guy down in a University of Miami. I think I was in about the seventh grade, and there was another boy, I think in about the fifth grade. And the Red Cross would come by in their trucks, I mean their station wagon, and take me and this other kid who stuttered to Miami, University of Miami, a Dr. Van Dusen. And he worked with me, I don't know, about a month. I'd go down, you know, twice a month, and I only went for 1 month. And he's trying to teach me how to breathe with my stomach, you know. And you know, I didn't understand that. I could. I thought I could breathe pretty good.
Well, the thing is see.
Well, I didn't go back. But later on, when I got famous, Mike Douglas and them, you know, contacted him, Dr. Van Dusen. He had moved on from Miami to the Women's College in Mississippi. Anyway, he came on, and he did a couple of TV shows with me. And later on, I did some shows with Dr. Sheehan out of, I believe, Southern Cal.
Wait, is that Joseph Sheehan?
Yes.
Wow, he's one of the greats.
Oh yeah, he came on several shows with us. We did one in L.A. with Dinah Shore, I think, and we did one on the Merv Griffin show, and also the Mike Douglas show. And we had people who stuttered on the show, and boy, some of them were severe. Their necks was an 18-inch neck, you know, trying to talk.
Yeah.
It's so funny how when a a lot of us tell our early stories of speech therapy, it's always something about, you know, trying to learn how to breathe properly.
Oh, no.
You know, and yeah, just as you said, Mel, it's like, well, I'm standing up here and I'm singing or I'm doing whatever I'm doing.
Well,
I'm not dead.
When I sing, your breathing is controlled. And I can control my breathing, you know, and I did, you know, what he said to do, but it didn't stop it.
Well, if you could,
you know, I'll, and I've always, and I still believe that there's a wire up there somewhere that ain't connected right. Mm. And I don't know if you ever learned how to correct that. You know, I don't know. That's just my thinking on it.
Well, I think you're.
You know, I say things backwards too a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think that I'm attention a deficit disorder. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I have that, but I never was diagnosed because I can be talking to you or you talking to me, and my mind will be 100 miles away.
Mm. Me too.
Worse than I was, but he didn't stutter. Yeah, he'd be writing a song, you'd be talking to him.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I feel the same way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I can learn, but I have to read it over and over and over again, you know, to absorb it.
Mel, if you could go back to going to speech therapy, what do you think would have been more useful for you?
You know, I didn't know then. I wasn't interested in nothing but football and girls.
Yeah.
And singing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Please, Eric, go ahead.
No. Mel, do you think...
And I got six kids. I got me 5 girls and 1 boy, which proves the stuttering ain't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't impede that at all. Certainly not. You could ask Mr. Reitzes about that.
Okay, Eric, calm down.
That's funny though. But I just want to get back to this whole idea of being on a stage, Mel. A lot of stutterers have said that they stutter significantly less when playing a role or acting. Do you find, or did you ever find, when you kind of take yourself out of your own shoes, you stutter less?
Yes, when you're doing a part, acting a part, you stutter less. If you got it memorized, if you're looking for on cue cards, I stutter more.
Hey Mel, I'm curious. Has religion played any part in your ability to cope with stuttering?
Well, I prayed a lot. You know, I prayed a lot, and I suppose that that my prayers were answered in other ways than I've been talking.
Okay. Okay. Now we have to ask you this question. We ask all of our male guests this question, and we know you're happily married. But when you were younger, did you ever use your stuttering as a way to meet a woman?
Lord knows, I tried to hide it. Yeah. You know, they'd eventually find out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. You know, they call me Silent Sam.
Oh, really? Okay.
But, you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter with the girls, you know, if they liked you.
Yeah. It's still the same way.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, it could almost be a good thing in finding a girl, because a person that is willing to accept stuttering is probably a little bit better of a person than someone that's not.
Yeah, and they kind of feel a little bit sorry for you, too, and that helps.
That's great. So do you consider your stuttering to be a gift, to be a handicap, or is it something else?
No, I consider it a gift, a blessing.
Why?
And all the songs that I've written are blessings because I'm not that smart. And I've been told that too several times.
I recently heard, Mal, a very funny comedian say something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I am interested in getting your thoughts on this. He said, while commenting on someone else's speech during an interview, that when Jerry, the guy he was talking about, gets nervous, he sounds like Mel Tillis up there on stage because the guy was stuttering a little bit. Does it bother you that in some way, albeit a small way, that you're known for stuttering?
No.
Excellent.
No, that doesn't bother me at all. The more my name is mentioned, the more money I make.
You know,
Amen.
I have one last question that I want to ask you. Eric and I are really involved in self-help groups for people who stutter. So we get together with people who stutter, and we talk about stuttering. What advice would you give to other adults who stutter?
Lord, have mercy. You know, getting together and doing what you're doing, you know, seems to be the right thing to do. You know, I don't do that because I don't have a lot of time to do that. But I do my mail, my letters to people who stutter. I talk to them sometimes by phone and by email. I do a class at University of Florida that I've started. I've got to do another one, I think, in November. And it's a speech therapist, would-be speech therapist. And I tell them, you know, a little bit about me, my life story up until now, and I tell them how that I've overcome a lot of it, and I tell them, you know, it's humor. I do a lot of humor, you know, make people laugh. I wanted to be accepted, and I wanted to make people laugh, and I do that today. And I'm accepted, you know, sociably, and every way that you can be accepted. I just was voted into the Florida Museum Hall of Fame. I said, I never heard of that. And I said, who all is in it? But it started out with Ernest Hemingway. I said, oh, hell, I'm in good company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then I was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, and everything that I could do. And it's just a wonderful thing. Florida State has asked me to come over to their school and do some of that. What I'm doing at University of Florida.
Excellent.
And I said, well, I'm a Gator. I'm not a Seminole. Oh, that's okay. We won't bother you.
It's a pretty intense rivalry down there, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, my Lord, yes.
Well, Mel, I just have to say that I truly think you're an inspiration to the stuttering world in the sense that you are a celebrity. And we don't really see that many famous people talk about stuttering or stutter out there. So it's really an inspiration for other people, especially children, who stutter. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I thank you for having us on your show. And let me tell you this, though, old pal, there's a lot of people out there who stutter. Like we say, Moses and Churchill, Marilyn Monroe. And there's a guy, a journalist, that stutters these days. And he's on a lot. I can't think of his name right off.
John Stossel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does great. And there's a lot of them out there. Al Camp, the cartoonist who did Little Abner, he stuttered.
Right.
And
right.
There's just a bunch of them out there. The African American, I can't think of his name right off. He got, he does a CNN thing. This is CNN.
Huh.
That guy.
Oh, him.
Well, yeah. Actually, I want to ask you about that. I think you mean James Earl Jones, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, here's what I want to know. You're very open about stuttering, but so many famous people who stutter wouldn't come on our show and don't talk publicly about their stuttering. Does that... I mean, I'm going to say up front, that bothers me. I think that if you're in the public eye and you're a stutterer, you should be more of a role model. Does it bother you at all that they're not necessarily open about their stuttering?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It's their canoe.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't understand that myself, you know. I've been blessed, you know. No, and I think that you should give some back as much as you can. And you stand up and be a beacon, be a light for that cause.
Those are great. I think those are great words to end the show on, to stand up and to be a light for this cause. So,
I've enjoyed it, fellas, and I tell you what, you just call me back anytime you want to talk, okay?
Well, we just might
excellent.
Do that.
Excellent. We really appreciate that.
All and right, you got my number.
All right. Thank you, Mel.
God bless you, fellas.
Thank you so much, Mel. It was a
pleasure.
Mel.
All right, fellas. Y'all take care.
Thanks. Same. You too.